Welcome back to Too Long Did Read It, everyone's favorite exploration uncovering. I gotta go under that manhole and see what the heck is going on of Reddit.
Manhole.
I've said that before. I've been under a manhole to see what's going on. You know what I mean?
In a sexual sense? No. I meant on the ground.
Two people are making weird sex jokes and you're alone.
Yeah, welcome to my daily life. Tee-hee. Well, speaking of sex.
Why did you say it like that? Sex.
She said it like she's never heard of it before.
Yeah. What is that?
A five-year-old. Boom. Sex. Feel like sand. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I thought we could dive into one by relationship advice, the subreddit, one of our favorites.
Okay.
Here's a question about this show.
Yeah.
Should I be more concerned about finding new subreddits with potentially less interesting content or returning to old subreddits we've covered before that have juicier posts?
I say a mix of both. Oh, ask the audience.
Yeah, we'll run a poll on the Patreon. If you want to participate, go to patreon.com/justbetweenus, and there will be a poll out to ask your thoughts.
That's a great idea. Wow. Incredible. We're great at marketing. Okay, so this one says, my wife, 28 female, decides not to wear the ring I, 28 male, got her.
Uh-oh.
I know. My wife and I have been together for 13 years total. Her wedding ring is moderately flashy, but nothing amazing. Her childhood friend gifted her a pretty flash ring for her birthday. I don't know what a flash ring is. Do you?
Probably flashy. Maybe a pretty flashy ring.
Oh, got it. I thought it was awesome, but she wears it instead of mine. Not on her ring finger, but on her other fingers. I asked why she does that, and she claims she doesn't want to lose it or forgets to put it back on after taking it off to do housework or work from home. This weekend, we were invited to an anniversary party. We were all ready and noticed she was wearing her friend's ring and not her wedding ring, so I asked if she was going to put it on. She says no, that she was okay without it, and hurried out the door. I asked why she wasn't going to wear it. She claimed it didn't match with her outfit. It didn't sit right with me, so I asked if she liked her friend's ring better than the ring I bought her. She said no, and to drop it. I said no, I want to know why you decide to wear her ring and not the one I gave you on her wedding day. She didn't say anything but told me I sure know how to ruin a night. She was upset pretty much the whole time. I just want to know why she decides not to wear my ring. Any advice or ideas?
Well, she's probably married to her friend at this point.
That's what I was going to say. She's either in love with her friend or she just hates her ring. Or
it could
she
be both.
And both. Or she also thinks that the flashier ring looks more expensive and she wants to wear the more expensive looking ring.
That the friend ring is more expensive?
Yeah. Or it just looks more expensive. It doesn't necessarily have to be more expensive, but it looks more expensive than their wedding ring.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I also really don't like, unless the OP is, like, telling us the story incorrectly, that, like, her reaction is to, like, get mad at him for asking.
Exactly.
That feels like a real deflector, not nice move to do to your partner.
I was going to say, that's what makes me lean more towards might be in love with the friend.
Yeah, if you're in love with your friend, and it would have to be that she's not aware of it yet or something, because you would do a much better job of hiding it if you were having some sort of active affair, or if you were, like, actually in love with them and knew it. Wouldn't you kind of try to hide it more instead of wearing a big flashy ring that they got you?
And I think it's kind of – have y'all ever bought friends rings?
No.
That's odd.
Well, no. Wait. Allison, you got me a ring one time.
Did it have a skull on it?
No, it was a cat.
Oh, it was a cat. Oh, is it cool?
Yes, and I posted a picture of it on Instagram and said that you got it for me, and it caused a little bit of a stir.
Why did I do that? That sounds so nice.
I think it was part of, like, a birthday present.
Wow. So I guess you do get your friends' rings.
And the first ever, the first thing I ever got you as a birthday present, well, I went to your birthday party at Cat on Vine, or, like, do you remember that?
Hound and Dog. What was that place called? Lion and the Hound.
Cat and Fiddle.
Cat and the Fiddle, yeah.
Yeah. And that was your first ever birthday party I went to, and I got you a bracelet.
Really? I wish I remembered my life.
Okay, friendship bracelets are a thing, but...
Yeah.
And I can understand like a character ring, like a cat, but this ring seems like it is in place of her wedding ring.
Yeah. Except she's not wearing it on her ring finger, so that's even weirder. Like, why can't she just wear both?
And how's it not matching? Like, it's your wedding
ring.
Yeah.
Also, normally for a wedding ring, that's something you pick out together. Like an engagement ring is often where someone can really surprise you, but most couples, I feel like, pick out their wedding rings together.
I think it depends on where they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, like, certain parts of the South, it's like everything's a surprise. Mm-hmm. And they've also been together since they were 15. Is my math correct on that?
Yeah.
I would leave her not because of the ring issue, but because of how she reacts when you ask her a question.
Yeah, the communication seems to be bad.
So someone, the top comment on this post is obviously, am I the only one who wants to see this ring?
The ring is like just two women making out.
I think they mean the wedding ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's just like covered in black and it's like ugly as fuck.
Yeah. Maybe it's just so ugly.
Okay. There was a similar story as OP's, but an engagement ring. He showed the ring and it was this gaudy pink ring that looked like costume jewelry. It was so ugly. Yeah. So maybe it's really ugly.
Yeah. But then she's lying about it. Because, but like I would lie about it too. You have to lie about that.
Really? You have to lie about it?
I don't know. I mean, if you hate it to the point where you won't even wear it and then it's like causing issues in your relationship, then no. But like, I think there are probably plenty of people out there who have gotten rings and engagement rings that they're not like huge fans of that they pretend that they like.
Yeah.
But I picked out my own, so that really helped. But then he gets all the credit. Everyone's like, ooh, great taste.
Really?
It's my taste. I picked it. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her MyLifeInABook.com and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with MyLifeInABook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused and I also get super stressed out and I think the not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, oh, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, Truvaga.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's Truvaga.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
Hi, everyone. Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough. I think now we can kind of seamlessly transition into my next post, which is from the subreddit entitled Friendship. Isn't that nice?
And then it's just a post that's like, I got my secret girlfriend a ring.
I got my friend a ring and I hope she falls in love with me.
Exactly.
And it's working.
Okay, so this post is entitled People Are Truly Weird.
True.
A lot of the times I see posts of people saying they just wish they had someone to talk to, or they wish someone would be their friend. And oftentimes I message said person and let them know I'm down to chat if they please, and they never fucking reply. Like, why make it seem like such a sob story in the first place if your intention was to ignore the people who actually respond? Boggles my mind. Anybody have views on this?
This is where we figure out that this person has an absolutely atrocious personality.
Yeah, but just in that initial message?
Their initial message is like, hey, have you ever wanted to fuck on a pile of frogs or something so off-putting? And then the other person just like doesn't reply. And then this guy's like, what's wrong with you? Beggars can't be choosers.
I think that you should come into it like, not like, hey, I'm here if you need something. It should be like, hi, I am blah, blah, blah. It can be like your username or whatever. I saw that you needed someone to talk to. I can relate to this in this way or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just some way that it's like not just I'm here to listen. Like it's a little too much. You got to
ease into it. So you're blaming OP and that their message was the problem.
It might be.
Wow.
Or sometimes people just get on the internet and just talk and then ranting is all they need. And it's actually better in real life. Like they get on the internet and they're like, I need somebody to talk to. And they rant. And that's really all they need. And they don't actually have to talk to somebody.
Oh, that's so interesting. I saw this very funny TikTok I didn't watch all of it, but there's this TikTok going around of this woman complaining about how a matchmaker rejected her. And it's like, right? And it's like 3 minutes of her like shitting on this matchmaker and like what? And like explaining her personality. And then other matchmakers are like, yeah, you seem like horrible to work
yes,
with.
Everybody's saying like, you seem very annoying. You seem extremely annoying. I don't want to work with you. I don't know who would want to date you.
Can you imagine the lack of self-awareness, like going and just being like, yeah, they're the problem, and not sitting back and thinking, now what am I doing wrong?
But to the point where you even make a video about how they're the problem. That's what I'm saying. And in the video, prove for everyone that you are the problem.
What was she saying?
That she's like type A and she doesn't want anyone with any woo-woo stuff like meditation.
Okay. It was just her vibe too. The vibe yeah, was she just was, off.
Yeah, she was not a nice lady. I am trying to get my friend to do a matchmaking service.
Oh.
Talkify. I don't know if they're any good, but I he was supposed to have a meeting with them today, but I didn't hear about it. I'll have to follow up.
Why do you think someone would use a matchmaker?
I think if you're really busy, it's a really good option because dating apps take up a lot of time. I also think if you feel like you aren't good at dating apps or that you're just like over them and haven't had good experiences with them. Mm-hmm. If like you have like an idea that you're like, okay, I really want to focus and prioritize romantic relationships in a way that I haven't before, could be a good reason. All sorts of reasons. I think they should be way more normalized because like
in some cultures they are.
Like matchmakers are great. Like it doesn't mean you have like, I mean, some people are bad at them, but if you have a good matchmaker, what a wonderful gift. Like people pay other people to help them out in every other aspect of their life.
I feel like in the 80s and 90s, it was like very, because they had those videotapes that people would send
record.
I feel like they were like fine, like it was normal then, and then it kind of went away. And then you had like Millionaire Matchmaker, which was a thing for a while. And then it kind of seemed like a luxury as opposed to just like something that's normalized.
I miss personals, like personals ads in the paper. Mm-hmm. I think those are so fun. But also my neighbor who passed away, she had like a bunch of books of like mementos from her friends who had died. And one was this gay guy who was very handsome. And she had a headshot of him. And I was like, was he an actor? And she was like, no, it was for like a matchmaking service. You would go, you would pay to have your headshot in a book. And then women would go or other men would go and look through the book and say, oh, I like this guy. And they would mark down in the book in a physical office who they thought was cute. Then they would come and mark down who they thought was cute. And then if there was a match, the office would set you up.
That's great. But that's also them not really doing anything. That's just them sort of being like a offline dating app.
But they also
there wasn't really.
But there usually was like information about the person too that you could read, not just the picture.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're not putting people together based on them thinking it's good. They're letting people self-select, which is basically just like an analog dating app.
I wonder if they also steered people towards different types, being like, "Oh, you guys seem like you have similar interests. What do you think?" Which I guess is also what a dating app
I don't really know anyone who's had a good experience with a matchmaking company personally. The only person I know who's done it had a terrible experience, but I also feel like that's too small of a sample size. And I've talked to matchmakers who say that it's good. But I would like to talk to more people about it.
Yeah, if you had a matchmaker and it worked out for you, even if it's like not like if it's like a cultural thing that that happened through a matchmaker in your culture, would also love to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right in to justbetweenuspod@gmail.com.
So, okay, so we're going to blame the OP for not having any friends.
Or trying to be too many people's friends. The OP might have a lot of friends, but they're just trying to be a friend to people online, and it's coming off.
This is interesting. Aggressive. Put a photo up so they can see they're connecting to another human being. Okay.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that.
I will say, I feel like one time when I like reached out to someone I know, but I'm not like good friends with to be like, hey, like I see you're going through a hard time, like just checking in. She just never responded.
Well, she was going through a hard time.
Exactly.
People reached out to you. I remember when you got, when your fiance left, friends of mine were like, is it okay to reach out to Allison? And then a lot of people did, right?
Oh yeah. That was really cool. I heard from all these people I hadn't heard from in a long time.
Yeah. I was just talking to the actress in my movie, and we had basically the same story of buying a house with someone we were engaged to, getting unengaged, then dealing with the house.
Really?
And I was like, wow, feels good. Feels good to commiserate.
Is there been resolved, or there's still in the
absolutely
thick of
it? Not. Never buy a house with anyone. Don't ever do it.
Okay, well, that's some biased advice. Sure. I'm now like to lead us to a subreddit that if we haven't visited before, we should have, which is simply cults.
Yeah.
Because Allison has one with her family.
Every family is a cult. And if you want to understand what that means, please check out my Substack, Emotional Support Lady. I really thought that that post was going to really reel some people in, get some more paid subscribers. It didn't work. No one wanted to know about that.
People are like, yeah, we already know and we hate it. Or they're like, I really don't want to have to confront that I'm in a cult.
But it is. It's what is a family other than a series of traditions, rituals, and customs?
And also murdering people. It's sort of a mafia situation.
All right. Okay, so this cult post is entitled, "The Cult I Was Raised In Is Going to Be on Netflix." Kind of a terrified dream. Face. The OP writes, "The title basically sums it up, but the religious cult I was born and raised in is going to be in a documentary on Netflix this month. It's the only one going to be released this month, so you can probably narrow it down, but I'm having mixed emotions about it. Even my non-religious friends are very interested in true crime documentaries and got very into Keep Sweet, Pray, and Obey and still talk about it despite not growing up religious or with zero religious trauma. I guess I'm glad the truth of the church will be exposed on mainstream media, but I'm a little nervous about some of the conversations that will arise considering I'm not open about my upbringing and none of my friends are aware that I was raised in a cult. They just know my parents are extremely religious. I guess it's a little extra complicated because my parents are still devout members while I'm an apostate. Overall, I'm just super nervous about what it will talk about, what is out there on mainstream media for people in my inner circle to see and learn, and how I should react to anything they say if it's ever brought up, and how this documentary will affect their opinion of me."
It would be so much easier to be like, oh, this is like kind of cool and interesting if your parents weren't still in it. The parents still being in it is so awkward.
Also that nobody knows. So it's not like people will be, you know, mindful of the way they bring it up around you or that they bring it up or whatever.
That sucks. Yeah.
I think kind of the way to go into it is, since people don't actually know, they're not going to change their minds about what they actually think about you individually. Mm. They'll change they'll have thoughts about the cult as a whole, but not you as a person. If you're not connected to it except through your parents, but if you're not actually following it, it's not really on you, especially since you were born into it and you got out.
Right. Do you think, though, that like they're going to tell their friends, like, because it's much more awkward to like have someone be talking to you about a cult that you were in.
Have you seen this documentary about this cult?
No, but I'm saying like it's like kind of it's different to have an omission where you like don't tell someone you were part of a cult because it never came up.
Right.
You don't feel comfortable. But it's another thing for someone to initiate a conversation with you about that exact cult and to still not tell them that you were involved in it. And so I wonder how the OP is going to navigate that.
And also because the documentary itself is not going to tell this specific, the OP's story. And the OP might get defensive about a few things because it's just like a generalization and not be something that's specific to the OP. And they're like, well, this isn't, the OP might like snap and be like, well, that's not how it went or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They said, "I'm just worried I'm going to be like a zoo animal for spectators to my friends. People love things like this as a form of entertainment. Even me, I'm guilty of being fascinated with true crime because of the psychology behind it and just how crazy it is. I'm afraid of turning into this to the people around me." And then someone just wrote back, suggested that they just say, "I'm not ready to talk about it," which I think is a good idea, you know?
But nobody knows, I mean, though.
No, but I'm saying, okay, but imagine your friend comes to you and is like, "Have you seen this crazy documentary? It's about this, this, and this." And then you have to be like, "Yeah, I was like in that cult or whatever." But then I would say, okay, then to the people that are not the OP, generally be mindful of how you talk about certain things, because people might, you know, you don't know who's been through what. Like, people might, you know, have been involved in something, or people. I just had someone where I was using the term incestuous to mean like a friend group. And then later this person said, hey, can you not use that word? Because I have that in my family and it makes me it's like uncomfortable. And I had never thought about that. And now I don't think I would use that way. You know, so like, not, it's a, that's like a broader example, but I just think like, you know, sometimes I'm guilty of being like, oh my God. And this is like funny because it's similar to, you know, using things that are examples like OJ or whatever, without thinking like, oh, maybe someone I'm talking to like has a personal connection to this.
Yeah. That's hard though. 'Cause then it's like, what can you talk about?
Well, and then, so then I think for the OP, I think you can say, I'm not ready to talk about it. And hopefully like the friends that love you and are respectful of you will take that. But there are some people who I think, I mean, you have to be prepared that it might be a little bit of a whisper behind your back. Like there might be a little bit of a, even just to say, whoa, like did OP tell you, like, is there anything we can do to maybe like make them feel more comfortable? Like people are going to say stuff to each other about it, whether it's positive or not. You know what I mean? So just like know that you can't control that.
Well, this other commenter who's also a fellow apostate here, was in a cult in their childhood, said that, honestly, this is a good time to be honest with your closest friends. It's hard to get through it alone. When I finally told my people, it was like a weight was lifted. Sure, some people don't get it, but your closest and dearest will, and your relationship will be stronger by opening up.
That's lovely.
So that's interesting that maybe this is a good time to tell people because they can sort of support you through this time when, like, yeah, there's all this spotlight on it.
Yeah.
I will say this was posted from 5 months ago, so they probably already navigated this. Ooh. But for future upcoming cult documentaries.
And obviously everyone that we're talking about does listen to this specific show.
Oh yeah, this is mandatory listening.
All the OPs that post on Reddit, they listen and wait for us to give them advice about what they posted.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, oh, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, TRUVAGA.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS. Let's do a new subreddit. So I found this subreddit called I'm 14 and this is deep. And it's one of my favorite things that I've ever seen. Because it's basically just like things that would have been really popular on MySpace, or like things that I think people think are really, like memes that people think are really saying something, like, oh, I gotcha. I'm really saying something. I'm really making you think. I'm really like, I'm actually being like philosophical about life or whatever. And it's not that deep. So
okay.
This one, I had to even like tell my boyfriend because it made me laugh so hard. So this is CEO mindset, okay?
I already hate this.
You will lose a lot of friends when you get serious about your life goals. That's why a Lamborghini has 2 seats and a bus has 50.
Oh my
hashtag
God.
Grind, hashtag hustle, hashtag living that life, hashtag luxury, hashtag no new friends.
Yeah, that's why I only have 2 seats in my car, too.
I was crying. I don't know why this made me laugh so hard. It's just like this thing of like hustle culture, grind culture, like, and everyone in your life is not going to understand and you're going to have to leave them behind. And it's like, or is it that you're a selfish and bad person? It's a people on a school bus, which already it's not a city bus. So what did you leave behind? Children? So it's a school bus, and the people on the school bus are gawking at a yellow Lamborghini on the street.
No, the Lamborghini is orange. The school bus is yellow.
Oh, okay, sorry. The Lamborghini is orange. I'm so sorry. I had closed the thing. And then it says CEO mindset with, like, a crown.
And then and then it's entitled, and a cycle only has 1 seat.
Meaning you by yourself, baby. Ride that unicycle down the street. You're alone.
Oh, and then someone said, who the hell compares public transport to sports cars?
Also, it's not public transport. It's a picture of a school bus. So it's a bunch of people on a field trip. So what'd you do? You drove yourself and your one friend to the field trip at the science museum?
I will say the people on the school bus do look like grown adults, though. So I don't know. Is it a school bus? It might be in a different country.
They look like teenagers.
Or is it, oh my God.
In their 40s to me.
It's the bus that takes you for your day trip out from the like recovery rehab center. And like that's, and so it's them. And then, but you know what? Those people have friends. And what do you have? A car and one
Lamborghini.
But do they have friends?
Yeah, they
have friends.
They
could just be all riding on the bus together. We don't know if
they're
actually
They might not be friends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's mostly that if you're riding on a bus, you're with a group of people. You might not know them. You might know them. You might not. In the Lamborghini, you definitely know the person sitting next to you, unless you, you know, right. It's not a compare. It doesn't make any sense. It sounds deep, but it's not real.
Someone wrote, not going to lie, though. If I became stupid rich, I'd buy myself a bus and take a bunch of friends and their significant others whitewater rafting or some shit with said bus.
Love that. Cute. Good person.
Yeah. I think that that's a really good call, is to when you're really rich, buy a bus instead of a Lamborghini.
You have
that's socialism versus capitalism. That's socialism versus capitalism. That's what that is. We solved it.
Okay, whose turn is it for Reddit or not?
Is it Allison's?
I think Allison, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. I will go with my father's soul is in my dog's body.
I feel like this is going to be easy to find. Are you looking, Melissa?
Yeah. Well, somebody says, should I take my dog to visit my dad's body before cremation?
What? Why?
I don't know about that. Maybe. I don't know.
He accidentally eats it.
And then
no, dogs don't eat people's bodies. Cats do, though.
They really do.
No, this is too scary. Where's the thing about the dog? Oh, no, it's not about, it's about letting the dog out the house, but not the soul being in it.
Okay,
this person said, I watched my father's soul leave his body. Trigger warning, death.
But it has nothing to do with the dog?
The person needed to leave to let the dog out the house. That's where it is.
Oh, boring.
What do you mean they needed to leave?
Their dad's at the hospital. They needed to leave their dad's side to go let the dog out before they left.
Okay, saw the soul leave the body. Yeah. They were like, hey, Dad, I got to walk the dog. Dad was like, no problem. I'll die right now.
Okay. That's just a gist I read out of like scanning out of like 200
got it.
Paragraphs. Yeah.
Relative soul in dog's body, Reddit. Like, there's got to be a thing where it's like, my dog is my grandma.
Yeah.
Okay, soul dogs.
It got deleted.
I'm pretty sure this is the plot of a movie called Fluke Lives.
Oh. I had an idea for a thing where let me see if I remember the movie idea. It's a couple and they're breaking up. And then the dog, the man turns into a dog, and then she rescues him, and then he wins. Ew. Yeah, he doesn't. She doesn't know it's her ex, but she the ex has turned into a dog, and then
that's gross, Gabe.
No, it's but then from taking care of the dog, they heal their relationship and they get back together. I have it's to find it. Like I wrote it down. It's longer than that. It's more than that.
It's kind of like a ghost.
There's a Tim Allen movie with a dog, that, right?
Yeah, but like you shouldn't have sexual feelings and romantic feelings for your dog.
No, you don't. You think it's dog. You don't think you think it's a dog. You don't know it's your ex.
I don't like it. The dog knows that you're their ex, and so then they're gonna come and snuggle you, and for them it will be different.
Yeah, you don't like anything where someone doesn't know who the other person really is.
Yeah, I don't like that.
What you're talking, Gabe, you're talking about the Shaggy Dog, and that's a remake of a remake of a remake of a remake. That movie's been remade 2 million times.
Shaggy Dog?
Yeah. No, Gabe thought that this was an original idea that they were going to write.
No, Gabe just said something about a Tim Allen
movie. Oh, it's a Tim Allen movie.
But I think there was one with Michael J. Fox back in the day, which you would like. You like Michael J. Fox, right?
Oh, the poster for the Shaggy Dog is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, I hate it. Oh, God. Ugh, look at it. It has human eyes.
So it's just sugar.
Just it, the dog in the seat? In the car?
It's worse than sugar. No, it's just the No, it's the one with the dog's face. It's just the dog's... No, it's a close-up on the dog's face.
In the movie, you see him morph from a dog to a man, so it's just mid-morph.
Oh, I hate it so much. Oh, my God, my uncanny valley is, like, at a next level. Oh, I hate it.
Okay,
oh,
well, we have to wrap this up because Gabe is
I think I'm going to puke.
It was your idea.
So I think I kind of stumped Reddit, despite the fact that it's sort of the plot of multiple movies.
Yeah. But I don't know if we want to share this. I'll share it with y'all and then you let me know.
I'm life not recovered from that poster.
Tell your family if you die to let your pet see your dead body. So it kind of tags on to that other one that we were talking about. If I die while I have a pet, let my animal see my dead body. Let them see my dead body, please. They understand death and seeing my dead, they left out body, will allow them to mourn. But if I just never show up one day, they'll think I abandoned them. Let my animal see my dead body.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's horrible.
That's kind of beautiful.
That is beautiful because, like, people will bring the pet to, like, the funerals and then they'll go sit, like, by the body during the...
Oh, I can't even deal with that. That's too sad.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's too sad. Like
sorry to end on a downer, everybody, but also like beautiful.
I think it's beautiful because the animal does know.
Do animals understand death?
Yes, elephants bury their dead and then go visit where they buried them. Did you know that?
Elephants will also go kill people that mess with them one time. Did y'all hear about that elephant that this lady did something to an elephant and then the elephant attacked her and then the elephant later showed up at her funeral and then wrecked the funeral too?
Shut up. That's not true.
Yes, they never forget.
It's 100% true.
Elephants never forget.
Wow. My mind's been blown.
This has been too long. Did read it.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday with a full episode of Just Between Us that you can get ad-free access to on our Patreon, patreon.com/justbetweenus, where you can get 8 ad-free episodes plus video content for only $3 a month. Are you kidding me? What a steal. And if for whatever reason you aren't able to sign up at this time, we'll be back on Monday with another full-blown episode of Too Long, Did Read It.
Goodbye.
Oh my God, this is real. Melissa sent the link.
Just Between Us is a Gallison production, hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabe Dunn.
Produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond Imprint Productions.
Edited by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
Brendan Burns composed our killer theme music.
Join our Patreon to watch full episodes and listen ad-free. The link is in the description.
And make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Discord, and Reddit.